Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
We turn to the scriptures today to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and we read the verses 1 through 12. Let us hear God's holy word. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Thus far the reading of the Word of God. The text for the sermon today is taken from this chapter, Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6. These words, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his holy and infallible word. Dear friends, if you were in the middle of a jungle, and you couldn't find your way out, what would you need more than anything else? Well, you say you'd need a guide, and you would be absolutely correct. You would need someone who was familiar with the territory and had the knowledge and skill to get you where you needed to be. Well, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we also need a guide. And the reason for that is because life is full of uncertainty. Life is like a path. It's full of ups and downs, twists and turns. Sometimes it is smooth and wide. At other times it is rough and narrow. What is more, it often happens that one path branches off into another path. And if you don't know where you're going, you can easily get lost. And so for that reason, we also need a guide. We need someone who's able to get us to our destination in safety, who knows where the dangers are and how to avoid them. But who is able to do this? Who can guide us through the ups and downs and the twists and turns of life? Well, we have an answer to that question in the passage that we just read together, Proverbs 3, the verses 5 and 6. Here Solomon says to his son, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Solomon here advises his son to trust in the Lord, and to take him as his guide as he travels down the path of life. My friend, you and I must do the same, if we are ever to hope to arrive at our destination in safety. And so with the help of the Lord, let's meditate on the words of our text under the theme, God Our Guide. And we'll consider two thoughts in connection with this theme. First of all, the demands he makes, and secondly, the promise he extends. So God Our Guide, the demands he makes, and the promise he extends. If we want to have God as our guide in life, we must do two things. And both of these things are spelled out in our text. First of all, we must trust in him. Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord." Now, most people today trust in anyone or anything but the Lord. They trust in doctors when they're sick. They trust in scientists to solve all the world's problems. They trust in counselors, worldly philosophies, Eastern religions, and humanistic self-help techniques to help them deal with their problems. But Solomon says no. Solomon points us in a better direction. He points us to the Lord. He says we must trust in the Lord. Now that stands to reason, does it not? After all, if you do not trust your guide, then there would be no point in having a guide. And so it is when it comes to life. In order to have God as our guide in life, we must trust in Him. What is more, we must trust Him, Solomon says, with all of our heart. Now, the heart, as you know, in Scripture is a man's innermost being. It's the seat of his will and his desires. It's the very core of who he is. So when Solomon says we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, he means we are to trust in him fully and completely. That means we are to trust in him for everything. We are to trust in him to give us all that we need for our soul. The Word of God, the sacraments, the preaching of the Word, the fellowship of believers, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and so on. We are also to trust in him for all that we need for our bodies, for food and drink and shelter and clothing. What is more, we are to trust in him in every circumstance of life, in good times and in bad times, in times of prosperity and times of adversity, in times of health and in times of sickness, in times of plenty and in times of poverty, in times of peace and in times of war. No matter what situation in which we find ourselves, we must trust in him. Like Job, we must be able to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." And nor is that unreasonable. For if there is anyone that we can trust, surely it is the Lord. For time and time again in the Scriptures, the Lord proves himself to be a God whom we can trust. Name one thing that God promised to do and failed to deliver. You can't, because there's nothing. Whatever God has promised to do, he has done. He promised to send the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent. And he did so in the person of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He promised Abraham that he would have a son. And he did. And that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. And that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. And that is exactly what happened. He promised the people of Israel that they would take possession of the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they did. He promised that after the Babylonian captivity, a remnant would return and inhabit the land and rebuild the temple. And they did. Whatever God promised, he did. And therefore, you and I can, and yes, even must, trust in him with all our heart. The second thing that Solomon says we must do is we must not lean on our own understanding. Now, to lean on your own understanding is the opposite of trusting in God. To lean on your own understanding is to trust in yourself. It is to look to self for all that you need rather than to God. And that is certainly our tendency by nature, is it not? By nature, we all tend to trust in self rather than in God. And that began already in paradise. When Satan tempted Eve, he asked her if God had really said that they should not eat of every tree of the garden. And in doing so, he made it appear as though God was being unreasonable. He was being unfair to Adam and Eve. And when Eve replied that they may eat of all the trees of the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she added that if they did so, they would surely die. But then Satan denied it, and he said, "You shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And then we read that the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And so she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now what did Adam and Eve do? Well, they leaned on their own understanding. They did what was right in their own eyes rather than in the eyes of God. And as a result, they brought on themselves and all of their descendants the wrath and the curse of God against sin. Sadly, this is how we all are by nature. We want to do what we want to do and live the way we want to live. And we think we know what is best, yes, even better than God. And sadly, even believers do this from time to time. Think of Abraham. God had promised that Abram and Sarah would have a son. But when they failed to conceive, what did they do? They took matters into their own hands. And Sarah proposed to Abram that he have relations with her maidservant Hagar and try to conceive by her. And Abram agreed to this. And he took Hagar as his wife, and sure enough, she conceived. But this was not God's plan. God's plan was for Abraham and Sarah to conceive a child of their own. But Abram and Sarah thought they knew better. They leaned on their own understanding, and the result was disaster. For several years later, Abram was forced to send Hagar and his son Ishmael away. How many times do we not do the same? How many times do we not set aside God's word and God's law and do what we think is right? Well, Solomon says, don't do that. Rather, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Now, why should we not lean on our own understanding, and why should we trust the Lord? Well, first of all, because the Lord's will and way is perfect, but ours is not. Our will and our way is defiled with sin and shortcoming. Consequently, what we want and the path that we want to go in order to get there is not necessarily the best. But secondly, the Lord sees the whole picture, and we do not. We see only in the here and now, but God sees far into the future. He also sees how certain events will impact others and ourselves. And that means he is best able to judge what is right and what is proper in every given circumstance. Solomon knows this, and therefore he says, lean not on your own understanding. Well, my friends, what about you and me today? Are you doing this? Are you trusting in God with all of your heart? Or are you doing like so many others? Are you leaning on your own understanding? You know, there are only two options, aren't there? We either trust in the Lord with our whole heart, or we lean on our own understanding. So which is it for you? Well, in order to trust in the Lord with our whole heart, the Lord must do a great work, doesn't he? He has to reveal to us who and what we are by nature. He has to reveal to us our weakness, our inability, our blindness, our ignorance, and our insufficiency. Only then will we realize how much we need him. Only then will we come to trust in him and look to him to supply all of our needs. Well, has he done that in your life, my friend? Has he shown you something of your great need of him? And has that also led you to trust in him with your whole heart? Well, if so, then you are the recipient of a wonderful promise. And that brings us to our second point. those who trust in God and who do not lean on their own understanding will have God as their guide. That's the promise. And we read of that in verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Now the words ways and paths are synonymous. They're parallel to each other. They both refer to the plans that we make in this life. And we all have to make plans. We have to decide what we will do for a living. We have to decide what we'll study at college and university and what university or college we'll attend. We'll have to decide on who we will marry or whether we'll get married at all. We have to decide on where we will settle down and where we will raise a family if the Lord gives us children. We have to make many, many plans throughout our lives. And as believers, we want to do the will of God. In fact, doing the will of God is a chief mark of any believer. When Saul saw the risen and exalted Christ on the road to Damascus, he asked, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" So it is for every believer today. Every believer wants to do the will of God. He wants to do that which will be pleasing to him and will promote his honor and his glory and the extension of his kingdom. And the reason for that is because he has learned to submit himself to Christ as king. The believer is no longer his own master. He is now a slave of Jesus Christ. And as a slave of Jesus Christ, he wants to do the will of Christ in all things. Now that, of course, raises the question, how do we discern his will? How do we know what God's will is for our lives? How do we know where he wants us to go to college or university, what course of study we should follow, what he wants us to do for a living, whom we should marry, where we should settle down, and all of these questions? How do we know what is God's will? Well, we cannot always answer those questions to the last detail, but Solomon does give us at least a partial answer. We must begin by acknowledging God. Now, what does that mean, to acknowledge God? Well, the root of this word, both in Hebrew and in English, is the word know. So to acknowledge God means to know him. It means to acknowledge his existence, to keep in mind that he knows all things, and that he sees all things, and directs all things. And therefore, when we make plans, we must do only what pleases and glorifies him. We must do what he wants us to do, as he has specified that in his word, and not what we want to do. In other words, we must put him first. Now, needless to say, that is something we often fail to do, isn't it? More often than not, we act first and consult with God later. Or we make a decision, and then we ask God to bless those decisions. Solomon turns that around. Solomon says, whenever we must make a decision, we must put God first. We must first acknowledge him. So how do we do that? How do we acknowledge God? Well, we do that in at least two ways. First of all, we need to be constantly reading and studying his word. God's word reveals to us what his will is for our lives. Perhaps not to the very last detail, but God certainly gives us various principles that we are to live by. And when we are faced with a decision in our lives, we are called upon to use our sanctified common sense and the word of God, the principles of the word of God, and apply them to that situation. And the more we read and study the word of God, the better acquainted with his will we will be. But secondly, and closely connected with this, is we must pray. Now we communicate with God through prayer. It's through prayer that we make known to God what our needs are, and we seek his guidance for whatever decisions we need to make. If we don't pray, we need not expect anything from the Lord. And what happens if we do? Well, Solomon says that God will direct our paths. The Hebrew here can also be translated, he will make our way straight, or he will show us the way to go, or which path to take. In other words, what Solomon is saying is that when we acknowledge God, when we seek for his guidance and direction, When we act within the parameters of His Word and do what He wants us to do and go where He wants us to go, then we have every reason to believe that He will bless and prosper us. He will make our path straight. Now you say, how will He do this? Well, He won't speak to us in an audible voice. God doesn't work that way anymore. But He will, sometimes in strange and mysterious ways, show us the way we must go. We have a good example of this in the life of Eliezer, Abraham's servant. Abraham sent Eliezer back to Haran to find a godly wife for his son Isaac. And when he arrived there, the first thing he did was to ask God to reveal to him which of the women coming to draw water from the well he was to choose. Eliezer was conscious of the fact that left to himself, he would never be able to fulfill Abraham's commission. He needed the Lord. And so he acknowledged him. He did that first. And the Lord directed his path. He led him to Rebekah, who would become Isaac's wife. Now to be sure, in this case, Eliezer asked for a sign. He said to God that if a woman offered him a drink from the well and also offered to water his camels, that she would be the woman whom God had chosen to be the wife of Isaac. Now needless to say, God doesn't always work that way. He doesn't always give us a sign. In fact, in most cases, He doesn't. But He does promise to direct our paths if we acknowledge Him. Now, of course, there's much more to discerning God's will than simply acknowledging Him. That's important. That's where we must begin. But we must also use our common sense. Someone once said that if we want to do the will of God, we must consider at least three things. First of all, we must consider whether we have the opportunity. Do I have the opportunity to do whatever it is I'm considering? Is there an open door? If there isn't, then it's probably not God's will. Secondly, we need to consider whether we have the inclination. Do I have the inclination or the desire to do the thing that I am considering doing? Is this something I really want to do? And if not, then again, it's probably not God's will. And then thirdly, we need to consider ability. Do I have the ability to do the thing that I am considering? Has God given me the necessary mental, physical, and spiritual qualities to do this or that thing? Again, if not, then it's probably not God's will. The point is, God is not going to tell you directly what He wants you to do. Nor will He always give a sign like He did with Eliezer or Gideon. He wants us simply to trust in Him and use our sanctified common sense. And when we do that, we have every assurance that He will direct our path. And that's not wishful thinking. That's not just a shot in the dark. This is a solemn promise of the Word of God. Those who trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him in all their ways will not stumble or fall. They will not take a wrong turn or make a bad decision. For God, who knows and sees all things, will direct their paths. But perhaps you say, well, I've made plenty of decisions in my life, and every time I've consulted the Lord, they turned out to be bad decisions, hurtful things. Hurtful things have happened to me and to my family as a result of the decisions that I have made. Well, that may be. But even those bad decisions and the bad consequences of those decisions are part of the path that God has laid out for you. The problem is we don't always see it that way. When things do not go as we had hoped, we immediately think that the Lord is against us. But my friend, that's not necessarily the case. God may be using the bad decisions and the consequences of those decisions in order to teach us a lesson and hopefully to bring us closer to Himself. Do you remember the story of Joshua at the Battle of Ai? Without consulting God, Joshua decided to send a small army to conquer Ai. And much to their surprise, they were defeated and 36 men lost their lives. And Joshua was perplexed. How could this have happened? Had the Lord turned against us? Not at all. God was using Joshua's bad decision to teach him and the people of Israel that they had to consult with him first. If they didn't, God would not bless them, and he would not give them victory over their enemies. Just because the things that we plan to do and the things that we do don't work out the way we had hoped, doesn't mean that God has not directed our paths. He has. Only he took you down a path you did not necessarily want to go in order to teach you something valuable. The point is, when we look to the Lord, he will direct our paths, even if it is not the path that we would have chosen ourselves. Oh, my friend, do you believe that today? When we have the Lord as our guide, then we never have to fear getting lost or following the wrong path. Nor do we have to be afraid that we might never reach our intended destination. For he knows the way. For he is the best guide in life. And he promises to bring us to our destination in safety. Doesn't David express that so beautifully in Psalm 23? There David compares the Lord to a shepherd and the believer as one of his sheep. And as the shepherd, the Lord provides the sheep with everything that they need. He makes them to lie down in green pastures. He leads them beside the still waters. He leads them in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And when they must walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they will fear no evil. For he is with them, his rod and his staff, they comfort them. And he prepares a table before them in the presence of their enemies. He anoints their head with oil, and their cup runs over. And goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life. And in the end, they shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the final destination of all of God's people. It's the house of the Lord. It's heaven, a place of unimaginable beauty and glory, where God will dwell to all eternity with his people. Oh, my friend, do you desire to go to that place? Then you must look to Christ as your Savior. When we look to him as the only hope and ground of our salvation, we will not be put to shame. When we acknowledge him, then he will direct our path, not only our path through life, but also, and especially, ultimately, our path unto heaven. And looking to this Savior, we shall arrive at our intended destination in safety, to the house of the Lord. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you are blessed by or have a comment on the message you have just heard, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio, that's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Thank you for listening. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.